We're continuing with the Megillah, unless you guys have questions. Do we have questions? Because in 5 minutes we have to pause.
No.
Okay, we're continuing with the Megillah. So we said 18,500 people went to the party, ate, drank, got drunk, and committed illicit relationships with these women. And the Sutton right away runs into the Ribbono Shel Olam and says, why do you still like them? Why are you still connected to them? They separate themselves from you. They actively leave you. Why don't you let's destroy this nation? You see, they're not doing tshuva. Get rid of them. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, what's going to be with the Torah? So the Sutton says, you have angels. You guys remember the Gemara we learned in Shabbos, that angels are into Torah. So Hashem says, okay, you're saying if their job is the active Torah and they're not doing it, so then you're right, we'll leave it to the Torah up here. And Hashem says, what do I need them for? Why do I do so many miracles for them? Why do I always save them from all their problems? And that's the verse in Dvarim that Hashem says, Ashbita me'enosh zicham. I will banish them from the memory of humanity. And God says to Sutton, bring me a Megillah. I want to write on it, Kilaya, desolation of the Jewish people. Sutton brings a Megillah and writes on it. The Torah comes out dressed in mourner's clothing, in a widow's clothing, and starts weeping. The angels come crying. They say, Ribbono Shel Olam, if there are no Jews in the world, so what do you need us for? That's what the verse says in Isaiah and Yeshaya. They're angels that represent the Jewish people, and they cried bitterly. The sun and the moon say, Ribbono Shel Olam, no point in giving light to this world. Eliyahu runs to he runs to the patriarchs and he runs to Moshe and he says, you're the fathers of the world, why are you guys still sleeping? Don't you realize that there's danger lurking? Don't you see where your kids are holding? The angels, the sun, the moon, everyone else is crying. What are you doing? You're just standing by. So they said, what's the problem? So he said, the Jews want to enjoy Achashverosh's feast, and because of that there's a decree that they should be wiped out of the world. Now, again, what the Medrash does for us is it opens our eyes. We sometimes think the problem is here and now. Years pass till Haman comes to the power and makes the decree. The Medrash tells us the problem began years earlier. At Achashverosh's party already in heaven, there was already a discussion. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov said, well, if they already went against God's Torah and the decree was sealed, what can we do? Elio says, Moshe, you're the trusted shepherd. How many times did you stand up for them? What does that mean? You always stood up for them and asked Hashem, he should annul his decree. Now you can't do anything? So Moshe asks him, is there anyone righteous in their generation? You're asking me to come back from the dead and do something. Is there anyone alive who could do something? So he says, yeah, there's a man, his name is Mordechai. So he says, get him to daven. The man who's living with the generation, he has to daven. He says, I'm going to pray over here, but he has to pray over there. So Elio tells him, but you realize the decree's already been written in heaven. The Hashem says the Jewish people should be annihilated. So Moshe tells him, what seal is on it? There are different seals in heaven. If the seal is made of tit, of tar, then it can be annulled. If it's signed in blood, then it's over. And there's nothing to talk about. In heaven, right? So he says it's in tit. So he says, go tell Mordechai. There's what to pray about. So Elio goes to Mordechai. And that's what the verse says. That's where we're up to. Mordechai yada et kol asher na'asa. You remember we said Mordechai knew what had transpired. He tore his clothing. And he sends word to Esther. What does he tell Esther? He tells her there's a decree in heaven. Initially, when he tells her there's problem brewing for the Jewish people, she says, that's our history. There are always problems. He says, no, you got a deal. She says, I'll deal. He says, no, you don't understand. The problem began in heaven. Yeah. In heaven, they agree. There's Elio came and showed me that in heaven it was decided that the Jewish people are finished. That's why it says, "Vatitchalchal ha'malka me'od," that Esther started having her period unexpectedly. She lost everything. She started flowing. So that's That's the story behind the scenes of what happens when, what does Mordechai say? What is Mordechai sending to Esther? He's telling her, I've seen the decree. Eliyahu told me it's signed in heaven. Our sages say that when Ahasuerus gave his ring to Haman, he hated the Jews more than Haman. Ordinarily, when you try to buy something, you take collateral. Make sure the guy's giving you the goods, right? You come to buy a house, you do bank transfer, they have to give you the papers. They have to sign that they'll give you the papers. There has to be some kind of security. Same thing, you buy a car. You bring a down payment. How do you know that you're going to get the car, that the guy doesn't walk off with your down payment? Over here, Ahasuerus doesn't ask for any securities. Here's my ring. How do you know what he's going to do with that ring? Ahasuerus says, it's worth it to me. I'm not worried. Ahasuerus was more into this decree than Haman. And again, we end the Megillah, we're supposed to say every year, Arur Haman, Baruch Mordechai. Arur Zeresh, Brucha Esther. Arurin kol harishoyim, bruchim kol hatzadikim. Cursed are all the wicked, blessed are all the righteous. The Megillah is a story of a man who tried to twist who is righteous, a man who tried to get the Jewish people annihilated, and Hashem showed him how he overturned it. The message of the Megillah is still today. And that's why we conclude the Megillah today, and this is the theme we're looking for in the Megillah. How many things were overturned? How many things turned back on the person who tried to do it? Haman prepares a tree, he's hung on that very tree he prepares. Haman tries to get the Jews annihilated, the enemies of the Jews are annihilated. Ahasuerus makes a decree, they won't rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, he tells Esther everything but that, but somehow his own son is the one that rebuilds the Beit HaMikdash. Every step of the way, it's the overturning of the plot of the wicked, and that is the chizuk that we're supposed to get. The message for today from the Megillah, the idea of Esther, that Hashem is hidden, that sometimes you look at the world and you can't really see Hashem is running the world. Hakel mistater, the pasuk says Hashem is a hidden God. Hashem gave us a world where we could ignore Him. We can make believe He doesn't exist. We could see the world the way Haman sees it. But the final theme of the Megillah is that Hashem does reveal Himself and does say, I do care. He's following what's going on here, and that's the message till today. And that's what I think. I didn't see it written overtly, but I think that's the idea that it says Pirsume Nisa. Just like on Hanukkah we're supposed to light the candles, on Purim we're all supposed to get together for the reading of the Megillah. There's a concept of Pirsume Nisa, and I think that's also the idea of drinking on Purim. The idea is, all year long we think we figured it out, we know to make the world right, we know to get our plans to fruition, and we have to do things in a logical, methodical way. But the idea of Purim is, I'm not in control, and I don't have to be in control. I have to know there's someone else who's in control. I'm not a fan of people getting drunk. I don't think it's a good idea ever. And on Purim, there are two opinions halachically, whether you should or should not get drunk. I obviously go with the opinion that says, drink more than you're used to, and with that, you're fine. You don't have to get drunk. If you're going to get drunk, make sure you're safe. Don't do things that are dangerous. I had a student one year who ran into the Muslim quarter with a water gun and started shooting people and saying, bam, bam, bam. And he's lucky he walked out alive. No one knows till today how he made it out alive. Don't do things that are dangerous. Don't go where there are cars, right? Make sure you drink and go to sleep. And don't drink more than you can handle. I have a friend who told me that last year the ambulances had to come for him twice. Because he drank more than he could handle. There's no point in drinking vodka or beer. The idea is to drink wine, try to stick to one type of wine, and drink at the meal. Not to drink at night and then drink in the morning. That's not the point. Try to stay sober, enjoy the night. The night is beautiful. And there's a lot of dancing, Mitzvah, I'll be coming, and most of the rabbis are here at the night for the dancing. And then by day, at the meal, you'll drink Bezrat Hashem. But to start drinking from the beginning of the day, that's really not the idea of Purim. Enjoy the sanctity of the day, the Torah of the day, visiting your rabbis, visiting your friends. If you can afford it, it's nice to give Mishlach Manot also to people who won't get from other people. Not only to your friend, try to think of someone who's maybe not your best friend, but it'll make their Purim to receive Mishlach Manot. And again, there's a big mitzvah on this day to also give to the poor. Matanot Leiv Yoni. Tov, Purim